Hello friends, it's been a little while since my last YouTube video, and so many things have happened since then. You know that Peter and Paul would love to be living in our day, because all of the events that are taking place right now point to the imminent return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Things are moving very rapidly now, and yet the National Sunday Law that so many of us were expecting last spring did not take place. Needless to say, there's a missing link somewhere, like the disciples in the first watch at the time of the crucifixion, and the Adventists in the second watch after the great disappointment of 1844, we must keep watching. We are now in the third watch, and I want to invite you to come and reason together, and let's take another look at the year 2022. We will also be studying two small books. We provide the key to where we are in the timeline. In 1902, Mrs. White had a dream where she saw ministers, their wives, and their children in a large meeting. They were studying five books. One of those books was the book of Zephaniah. Mrs. White wrote, "Through the prophets, God has given a delineation of what will come to pass in the last days of this earth's history, and the Jewish economy is full of instruction for us. Scripture was compared with Scripture by the ministers, and application was made of the Word of God to our own time. You will be surprised what we find in the book Zephaniah." Jesus said in Matthew 24:6, "Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars." We see what's happening in Afghanistan, in North Korea, in Syria, in Iraq, and in Iran. A 40-year-old time bomb, which is about to explode at any moment, in fulfillment of Daniel's 2,500-year-old prophecy of the ram and the he-goat in Daniel 8. Jesus said in Matthew 24:7, "There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes." We are seeing a famine, a plague of locusts, that is being described by the media as a plague of biblical proportions, bringing famine to the continent of Africa and now moving into the Middle East. We are seeing the coronavirus pestilence wreaking havoc worldwide. We are seeing over 950 unprecedented earthquakes take place in Puerto Rico in the last 2 months. California is burning. Australia is burning. There are floods taking place everywhere. Friends, we have to recognize that something great and decisive is about to take place, and that the world is on the verge of a stupendous crisis. Like the Hebrews of old, we have been stiff-necked and disobedient. We have failed to realize that this entire mess started because Adam and Eve sinned and ate of the forbidden fruit. God is a holy God, and He demands holiness from us. We have got to stop sinning and ask Jesus to more fully reveal to us the sacrifice that He has made by dying in the cross for us. I have prayed that God may grant me the promised to Moses in Exodus 4:12, "I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say." In like manner, I ask you, turn this video off for a few seconds and ask your Heavenly Father if what you are about to hear and see in this presentation is truth or a figment of my imagination. May His angels and His Holy Spirit be here to guide and instruct us, is my prayer. I don't need to tell you that I have been accused of being a time setter because of my YouTube series, 6,000 Years End in the Year 2022. Political correctness is destroying America, and Seventh-day Adventists, for fear of being labeled a time setter, are still back in 1844 and dare not apply any Bible prophecy to the future in spite of clear warnings which clearly declare otherwise. Notice this quote. To the period just prior to the appearing of the Son of Man, the prophecies of Scripture point. All the prophecies point to the period just prior, the biggest event in the world. And here, their warnings and threatenings preeminently apply. The prophetic periods of Daniel, extending to the very eve of the great consummation, throw a flood of light upon events then to transpire. The book of Revelation is also replete with warning and instruction for the last generation. The beloved John portrays the fearful and thrilling scenes connected with the close of earth history. Review and Herald, September 25, 1883. Let's reason together. Was 1844 the eve of the great consummation? Was 1844 the last generation? Was 1844 the close of earth history? First and foremost, we have to clarify what is meant by a time setter. Many who have called themselves Adventists have been time setters. Time after time has been set for Christ to come. But repeated failures have been the result. The definite time of our Lord's coming is declared to be beyond the ken of mortals. Even the angels who minister unto those who shall be heirs of salvation know not the day or the hour. Review and Herald, August 16, 1887. I have never stated a definite time or the day and the hour for the Lord to come. All I have said is that biblically, God's people must be delivered at the end of a sabbatical year, and the next sabbatical year ends in 2022. The message in my YouTube series, 6,000 Years Ending the Year 2022, is if God chooses to deliver his people at the end of 2022, then we can expect the following. A national Sunday law will be enacted in America. Very soon thereafter, probation closes for Seventh-day Adventists pursuant to 1 Peter 4:17, which says, judgment comes first to the house of God. Then God can unleash upon the world his army of 144,000, which he is now preparing to warn the world of impending judgment and their close of probation. The time of God's destructive judgments is the time of mercy for those who have had no opportunity to learn what is truth. Tenderly will the Lord look upon them. His heart of mercy is touched. His hand is still stretched out to save, while the door is closed to those who would not enter. Review and Herald, July 5th, 1906. The door is closed to Seventh-day Adventists, while the 144,000 are presenting the message of the last message of mercy to the world, and we are left out. The Apostle Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians 4 in the year AD 54. He must have been close to 60 years of age. He wrote, "Then we which are alive and remain." Paul spoke as if Jesus was coming in the next few years. Were he alive today, he would be labeled a time setter. I submit to you that 2020 will be an unforgettable year, and we need to look again at 2022. I did make a mistake in my YouTube series when I tied the National Sunday Law to the 42-month prophetic period of Daniel 12. As I have explained since then, nowhere in the spirit of prophecy or in the scriptures are we given a date for the commencement of the National Sunday Law. We are told it will commence in secret. Notice the quote. The Sunday movement is now making its way in darkness. The leaders are concealing the true issue, but when it shall speak, it will reveal the spirit of the dragon. Review and Herald Extra, December 11th, 1888. The 2300-day prophecy of Daniel 8:14 and the 70-week prophecy of Daniel 9:27 commenced in 457 BC, and it was not until the 1800s that God used William Miller to warn the world of their fulfillment. I am still absolutely convinced that the clock is ticking toward the end of the 6,000 years in the fall of 2022. And there are too many 6,000 year statements by Ellen White to brush them aside. With that said, let's examine why 2022 presents insurmountable evidence that something must of necessity take place now. The Jewish economy revolves around the Jubilee year, which was the climax of seven sabbatical cycles, each one ending on a sabbatical year. The sabbatical year was also known as the acceptable year of the Lord, Isaiah 61:2 and Luke 4:19. It was known as the year of release, Deuteronomy 31:10. It was known as the year of my redeemed, Isaiah 63:4, and it was known as the year of recompenses, Isaiah 34:8. It is a biblical principle that God's people will be delivered at the end of a sabbatical year. Three quotes that are very clear. At the end of every 7 years, thou shall make a release, Deuteronomy 15:1. At the end of every 7 years in the solemnity of the year of release, Deuteronomy 31:10. At the end of every 7 years, let ye go every man his brother a Hebrew, Jeremiah 34:14. I would like to share with you now slide 709 of my 6,000 year series on YouTube. And I want you to focus on the midst of the week of years mentioned in Daniel 9:27 and Desire of Ages 2:33. You can go about it, you can go there and read about it. Very clear explanation of the midst of the week of years. Look at the first event that took place there. 457 BC. At the end of 457 BC, at the end of the sabbatical year, which took place in 457 BC, the 2300-day prophecy commenced. The second event, if you start adding 7 years from 457 BC, you remember to count year zero does not count, you will land in AD 27. At the end of the sabbatical year that took place in AD 27, Jesus was baptized. You add 3.5 years, and it takes you to AD 31 when Jesus was crucified. You add 3.5 years to that, and it takes you to AD 34 when probation closed for the Jews. You add 7 years, you keep on adding 7 years, and it takes you to AD 538. The commencement of the first fulfillment of the 1260-year reign of the papacy. The next event is AD 1798. At the end of the sabbatical year in AD 1798, the papal reign ended. The next event, AD 1840, when Josiah Lisch predicted the fall of the Ottoman Empire. You add 3.5 years to that, and you land in 1844 when Jesus went into the most holy place and the judgment of the dead commenced. And 2019 is the midst of the week of years that we are presently on right now. Even though we're in 2020, 2019 has not ended yet based on God's calendar. Friends, these are eight major biblical events. All are found in the Great Controversy, the most important book of the 55 books Ellen White wrote. This is no coincidence. If you move one of those, if 457, you made it 456, none of those dates would line up. 2022, you can bank on it, is a sabbatical year. If God's deliverance does not take place in 2022, then we have to go to 2029, but that would be 6,006 years from the creation of Adam, and it does not line up with all of the 6,000-year statements of Ellen White. The United States, China, and Russia, and the rest of the world is buried in debt. Most experts agree this cannot last another 9 years. The young people of Iran have been protesting in over 178 cities. The Grand Ayatollah Khomeini understands that his time is closing, and if he does not act now, he is going to lose that window of opportunity. I have 107 slides in part two of my 6,000 year series on YouTube, which deal with the imminent invasion of Iran, Iraq, and Syria, per the Battle of the Ram and the He-Goat in Daniel 8. Spotlight, the best movie of 2016, revealed the pedophile scandal and the sexual abuse within the Catholic Church. Pope Francis knows that he must act now or lose his window of opportunity. Record-breaking natural disasters are taking place worldwide, and all that is needed to set off this crisis is a major catastrophe, which I feel is imminent. Habakkuk prophesied, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. Habakkuk 3:2. The midst of the week of years refers to the 3.5 year mark during a 7 year sabbatical cycle. According to Exodus 12:1-2, God's sacred year commences in the spring in the month of Abib. 2019 is the midst of the week of years between the last sabbatical cycle, which ended in 2015, and the next sabbatical cycle, which ends in 2022. 2019 in God's calendar commences in the spring of 2019 and ends in the spring of 2020. Habakkuk also prophesied, write division and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Strong's Concordance assigns is 4150 moed to the word seasons in Genesis 1:14 and defines it thus, an appointment, a fixed time or season, especially a festival. Strong's also assigns his 4150 moed to the word appointed in Habakkuk 2:3 and to the word feast in Leviticus 23 verses 2, 4, 37, and 44. The appointed time in Habakkuk refers to a feast day. In the night season, I was in my dreams in a large meeting with ministers, their wives, and their children. I wondered that the company present was mostly made up of ministers and their families. The prophecy of Malachi was brought before them in connection with Daniel, Zephaniah, Haggai, and Zechariah. The building of the temple and the temple service were considered. There was close searching of the scriptures in regard to the sacred character of all that appertained to the temple service. Through the prophets, God has given a delineation of what will come to pass in the last days of this earth's history, and the Jewish economy is full of instructions for us. Notice that word delineation. We are going to see it again. The Jewish economy is full of instructions for us. Friends, I submit to you that if you're trying to study end time Bible prophecy and you do not understand the Jewish economy, you're wasting your time. The prophet says so. All these things were closely studied by the company before me in my dream. Scripture was compared with scripture, and application was made of the word of God to our own time. Review and Herald, February 4th, 1902. Now let's focus on the book Zephaniah. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice, that I will punish the princes and the king's children, and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. Zephaniah 1:8. The Lord's sacrifice is a reference to Passover or the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Luke 22:1, when Jesus was crucified. The princes and the king's children is a reference to God's church. And it shall come to pass in that day, the day of the Lord's sacrifice, saith the Lord, that there shall be the noise of a cry from the fish gate, and an howling from the second, and a great crashing from the hills. Howl, ye inhabitants of Maktesh, for all the merchant people are cut down, all they that bear silver are cut off. Zephaniah 1, 10 and 11. In that day refers to Passover, the Lord's sacrifice mentioned in verse 8. A great crashing from the hills refers to an earthquake which will mark this event. Merchant people are cut down refers to the final collapse of the stock market after the national Sunday law is enacted in America. Notice the quote, this national apostasy, the Sunday law, will speedily be followed by national ruin. Review and Herald, June 15th, 1897. And it shall come to pass at that time, during Passover, that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lease, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. Zephaniah 1, 12. At that time refers to Passover, the Lord's sacrifice. I will search Jerusalem with candles, refers to the judgment of God's church. For all we know, the searching of Jerusalem with candles started last Passover. The defiant and rebellious attitude of the North American division in failing to comply with the mandate from the World Church at the General Conference session regarding women's ordination is alarming, and we have never witnessed before. I've been in this church for 38 years and we've never seen that. We are in the shaking and sifting time right now. Every minister, every member of God's church is right now being forced to make his calling and election sure. Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired, before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Zephaniah 2, 1 and 2. Notice this was written thousands of years ago. It applies to the time just before the second coming, like we just read. What decree do you suppose Zephaniah is referring to? Look at the inspired commentary. Wonderful events are soon to open before the world. The end of all things is at hand. The time of trouble is about to come upon the people of God. Then it is that the decree will go forth forbidding those who keep the Sabbath of the Lord to buy or sell, and threatening them with punishment and even death if they do not observe the first day of the week as the Sabbath. The exhortation of the prophet Zephaniah is, gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired, before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as a chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you. And she quotes Zephaniah 2, 1 to 3. Review and Herald, November 19th, 1908. Right now is the time to gather together. God's 144,000 are being made up right now. The sealing time is taking place right now. We are settling into the truth right now, before the Sunday law comes. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time I will bring you again, even in the time that I gather you. I will make you a name and a praise among all the people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. Zephaniah 3, 18 to 20. The solemn assembly refers to God's feast, the last day of the feast of unleavened bread in Deuteronomy 16, 8, or the last day of the feast of tabernacles in 2 Chronicles 7, 9. The reproach of it was a burden refers to the abuse God's people have suffered for observing God's festivals. I will make you a name and a praise refers to the ceiling of the 144,000. There has never been a group that the 144,000, that's why we are told, strive to be among that group. God will make them a name and a praise among all the people of the earth. Am I saying that the National Sunday Law is going to take place this Passover? Absolutely not. But look at the order of events that must take place before the National Sunday Law is enacted. Zephaniah 1:8, punish the princes and the king's children. Zephaniah 1:10, great crashing from the hills and merchant people are cut down. Zephaniah 1:12, search Jerusalem with candles. Zephaniah 2:12, gather yourselves together before the decree bring forth. All those events have to take place. And then the National Sunday Law will come. So in my mind, it's totally possible for this to happen this coming Passover. But if it does not, the clock is still ticking towards 2022. 2022 is very suspicious, friends. We have missed the link somewhere. But we're going to get to that in a little bit. But 2022 is very suspicious. Don't stop watching. What follows is documented in my small booklet, God's Feast, Sabbatical Years, and Jubilee. This booklet was offered free in my 6,000-year YouTube series, and people from 52 countries have requested it. Jesus, the Lamb of God, died precisely on Passover Day, the same day that for 1,500 years the Jews had sacrificed the Lamb of God. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit took place precisely on the Feast of Pentecost. 1,813 years later, Jesus went into the Most Holy Place in 1844, precisely on the Feast of the Day of Atonement. In like manner, in order to fulfill Scripture, God's people must be delivered at the end of a sabbatical year. Very clear. It's brought out here. Attention was given to the manner in which the types relating to the first advent of Christ had been fulfilled. The slaying of the Passover lamb was a shadow of the death of Christ. These types were fulfilled not only as to the event, but as to the time. On the 14th day of the first Jewish month, the very day and month on which for 15 long centuries the Passover lamb had been slain, Christ, having eaten the Passover, was taken by wicked hands to be crucified and slain. And as the antitype of the wave chief was the type, Christ was the antitype. That's why if we don't understand the types and the antitypes of the Jewish economy, we cannot understand biblical prophecy at the end of time. And as the antitype of the wave sheaf, our Lord was raised from the dead on the third day, the first fruits of them that slept. In like manner, the types which relate to the second advent must be fulfilled at the time pointed out in the symbolic service, Great Controversy, page 399. These are four quotes from my little feast book. I just invite you to read those quotes and ask the Lord if this is something that you should be paying attention to. It's free, just request it electronically. The burden of Christ's teaching was the time is fulfilled. Thus, the gospel message as given by the Savior himself was based on the prophecies. The time of Christ's coming, his anointing by the Holy Spirit, his death, and the giving of the gospel to the Gentiles were definitely pointed out. It was the privilege of the Jewish people to understand these prophecies. Christ urged upon his disciples the importance of prophetic study. As the message of Christ's first advent announced the kingdom of his grace, so the message of his second advent announces the kingdom of his glory, and the second message, like the first, is based on the prophecies. Desire of Ages, page 231. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, that there should be time no longer. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again. Revelation 10, 5 and 6. I submit to you that as a church, we have not understand what that angel in Revelation 10 is referring to. This prophesy again takes place after the National Sunday Law. The first and second angels' messages have been proclaimed since 1844. Now, all three messages are proclaimed again with the added force of the fourth angel of Revelation 18. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, come out of her, my people. Revelation 18, 1 to 4. This statement that we are going to look at now has caused a great deal of confusion among Seventh-day Adventists. I am going to go very slow so you can understand and we can clearly pinpoint what is being referred to here. The mighty angel, notice that is capitalized, the mighty angel who instructed John was no less a personage than Jesus Christ. After the seven thunders utter their voices, the injunction comes to John as to Daniel in regard to the little book. Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, she quotes Revelation 10:4. These relate to future events which will be disclosed in their order. Notice this is being written in 1900. In 1900, Ellen White was not given the light as to what this meant. She never wrote it after that. These relate to future events which will be disclosed in their order after we prophesy again after the National Sunday Law is enacted. Daniel shall stand in his lot at the end of the days. 1844 was not the end of the days. John sees the little book unsealed. The unsealing of the little book was the message in relation to time. The special light given to John, which was expressed in the seven thunders, was a delineation. There is that word again. An order of events was a delineation of events which would transpire under the first and second angels' messages after we prophesy again. It was not best for the people to know these things, for their faith must necessarily be tested. We are in the testing time right now. Who is going to be on the Lord's side? In the order of God, most wonderful and advanced truth would be proclaimed. The first and second angels' messages were to be proclaimed from 1844 until now. We have gone all over the world. We have set up schools. We have set up hospitals. People recognize who Seventh-day Adventists were, who Seventh-day Adventists are. But now our faith is being tested again. And it says the first and second angels' messages were to be proclaimed, but no further light was to be revealed before these messages had done their specific work. This is represented by the angel standing with one foot on the sea, proclaiming with a most solemn oath that time should be no longer. This time, which the angel declares with a solemn oath, is not the end of this world's history, neither of probationary time, but of prophetic time. We should precede the advent of our Lord. That is, the people will not have another message upon definite time. After this period of time, reaching from 1842 to 1844, there can be no definite tracing of the prophetic time. The longest reckoning reaches to the autumn of 1844. Seventh-day Adventist Bible Commentary, Volume 7, page 971. That's a mistake there, I'm sorry. Now, if all prophetic time ended in 1844, and if the prophetic periods of Daniel are still in the future, then the prophetic periods of Daniel must take place with literal time, not prophetic time. Now let's study that. In 1843, the Millerites printed the 1843 chart used by William Miller until 1844. William Miller used the 1290 and the 1335 days of Daniel 12 to arrive at the year 1843, thus erroneously concluding that the 1335 days terminated in 1844. In 1850, Mrs. White received a vision to publish another chart which James White labeled the 1850 Adventist Prophetic Chart. In the 1850 chart, you will not see mentioned the 1290, the 1335, Daniel 12:11, Daniel 12:12, or Daniel 12:13. This chart fully explains what is prophetic time. Notice the quote, "On our return to Brother Nichols, the Lord gave me a vision and showed me that the truth must be made plain upon tables." Why plain? Because the 1843 chart was wrong. Letter 28, 1850, 6 years after 1844. Work on the new chart was begun at once. A chronological chart of the visions of Daniel and John calculated to illustrate clearly the present truth. Early Years, Volume 1, page 184. The first two angels' messages were proclaimed in 1844, but the angel told John that these messages would be proclaimed again in the future. "Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings," Revelation 10:11. Why would Mrs. White delete the 1290 and the 1335 prophetic periods of Daniel 12 in the 1850 chart, if in fact those prophetic periods had already been fulfilled? Have you ever heard a sermon on the 1850 chart? Why? Slides 530 to 543 in part 4 of my YouTube series, 6,000 Years End in the Year 2022, cover both charts in detail and explain the why. In the last days, Satan will appear as an angel of light. This is in the future. With great power and heavenly glory, and claim to be the Lord of the whole earth. He will declare that the Sabbath has been changed from the seventh day to the first day of the week. And as the Lord of the first day of the week, he will present the spurious Sabbath as a test of loyalty to him. Then, after Satan appears, changes the Sabbath to Sunday, then will take place the final fulfillment. That tells us that there was a prior fulfillment, a first fulfillment from 538 to 1798, the 1260 papal reign. Then will take place the final fulfillment of the Revelator's prophecy, and they worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worship the beast saying, "Who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him?" And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And she quotes Revelation 13:4-18. Manuscript Releases, Volume 19, page 283. Page 282, I'm sorry. John saw God's church persecuted twice, AD 538 to AD 1798 in prophetic time. In Revelation 12:6, notice the language, 1,203 score days. And he saw the church being persecuted a second time, notice the language, for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent, Revelation 12:14. You know, this prophetic period of times, times and half a time, or 1,243 score days, or 42 months, is mentioned 7 times in Scripture. Do you think God wants us to understand how these prophetic periods apply? In 1881, Uriah Smith published his book, Daniel and the Revelation, and in his powerful position as the longest serving editor of the Review and Herald for 50 years he held that post, he promoted the same until his death on March 6, 1903. In his book, The Prophetic Periods of Daniel End in 1844. Less than 4 months after the death of Uriah Smith, and 53 years after receiving the vision to print the 1850 Adventist Prophetic Chart, Mrs. White published her final and most stern warning regarding Daniel 12. She wrote, "Let us read and study the 12th chapter of Daniel. It is a warning that we shall all, including her, need to understand before the time of the end." Manuscript Releases, Volume 15, page 228. It was not the scholarly theologians who had an understanding of this truth and engaged in its proclamation. Had these been faithful watchmen, diligently and prayerfully searching the scriptures, they would have known the time of night. The prophecies would have opened to them the events about to take place and proclaimed the coming of the Promised One. The prophecy of Micah designated his birthplace. Daniel specified the time of his advent. Micah 5:2, Daniel 9:25. God had committed these prophecies to the Jewish leaders. They were without excuse if they did not know and declare to the people that the Messiah's coming was at hand. Their ignorance was a result of sinful neglect with profound and reverent interest. The elders of Israel, can we say Seventh-day Adventist elders, should have been studying the place, the time, the circumstances of the greatest event in the history of the world, the coming of the Son of God. Now, if all the prophecies point to the time just before Jesus comes, and it says Daniel specified the time, do you think the greatest event in the history of the world, the second coming of Christ as the Lion of Judah, is going to remain in ignorance? We're not going to know the day and the hour, but we are going to know that the prophetic periods of Daniel carry us to the very eve of the great consummation. And until God the Father proclaims the day and the hour, we will not know it. But we are surely supposed to be studying the prophecies. If in fact the clock is ticking towards 2022, how do the 42 months fit into the timeline? There's not enough time. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those sakes shall be shortened. Matthew 24:22. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Romans 9:28. Back in 1798, notice what she says. The persecution of the church did not continue throughout the entire period of the 1260 years. God, in mercy to his people, cut short the time of their fiery trial. Great Controversy 266. I believe this is what's going to happen this time. The 42-month reign of Satan, which we are seeing that he's got control, like he's the things that we're seeing we've never seen before, that reign will be cut short, and 2022, in my opinion, will be when this prophecy is fulfilled. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. Luke 12:37. I saw that watch after watch was in the past. Because of this, should there be a lack of vigilance? Oh, no. The passing of the second watch has brought us to the third. And now it is inexcusable to abate our watchfulness. The third watch calls for threefold earnestness. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 2, pages 193 and 194. a tarrying time or a delay was associated with the first and second watches, and history is repeating itself with the third. Notice, the Lord intimates a delay before the morning finally dawned, but he would not have them give way to weariness, nor relax their earnest watchfulness, because the morning does not open upon them as soon as they expected. The waiting ones were represented to me as looking upward. They were encouraging one another by repeating these words: the first and second watches are past. We are in the third watch, waiting and watching for the Master's return. There remains but a little period of watching now. I saw some becoming weary. Their eyes were directed downward, and they were engrossed with earthly things and were unfaithful in watching. Friends, see where you fit into this picture. God's people were looking up. The other group was looking down. Notice what she says. They were saying, in the first watch, we expected our master, but were disappointed. We thought surely he would come in the second watch, but that passed and he came not. We may be again disappointed. We need not be so particular. He may not come in the following watch. We are in the third watch, and now we think it best to lay up our treasures on the earth, that we may be secure against want. Many were sleeping, stupefied with the cares of this life and allured by the deceitfulness of riches from their waiting, watching position. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 2, 192. Where are we in this picture, friends? Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Revelation 3:3. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. Mark 13:35. Notice that scripture. What did Jesus mean by I will come to thee as a thief in the night? Surely he cannot refer to his second coming. The plagues are going to be poured out. There will be a great earthquake such as never has been before. The special resurrection will take place. The sky will open and shut, and we will see the Ten Commandments written in the sky. The mountains will shake like a reed in the wind. The sea will boil like a pot. Notice the commentary. Jesus has left us word. Watch ye therefore, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. Mark 13:35. What time is here referred to? Not to the revelation of Christ in the clouds of heaven to find a people asleep, no, but to his return from his ministration in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary. When the mandate goes forth, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 2, page 190. There's a problem. I will come to thee as a thief in the night refers to the close of probation. Probation closes first for the Adventist Church. This is why God has to have this message warning the Seventh-day Adventist Church before the National Sunday Law takes place. Because we are being told in church, oh, when the National Sunday Law is enacted, then that's the time to get out of the cities, to get your act together, to start really focusing on the second coming of Christ. Friends, it will be too late. Do not be deceived by false teachers. Look at the commentary. Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Mark 14:38. Watch against the stealthy approach of the enemy. Watch against old habits and natural inclinations, lest they assert themselves. Force them back and watch. Watch the thoughts. Watch the plans, lest they become self-centered. Watch over the souls whom Christ has purchased with his own blood. Watch for opportunities to do them good. Watch, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And she quotes Mark 13, 35, and 36. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 6, 410. A silent witness guards every soul that lives, seeking to win and draw him to Christ, as long as there is hope, until they resist the Holy Spirit to their eternal ruin. Men are guarded by heavenly intelligences. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 6, page 366. As long as God sees that he can save someone, angels guard that person. But whether they die or not, if God sees this person is rejected me so many times, probation literally closes for that person while he's alive. Let's look at the commentary. All around us are souls going down to ruin as hopeless, as terrible as that which befell Sodom. Every day the probation of some is closing. Every hour some are passing beyond the reach of mercy. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 140. They're not passing because they died. They're passing because they rejected Christ. Probation closed for King Saul in 1 Samuel 16, many years before the Philistines killed him in 1 Samuel 31. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. 1 Samuel 16. In 1 Samuel 16, the Holy Spirit departs, and Satan is totally controlling Saul. Yet God restrains him not to damage David for David's sake, but the Spirit of the Lord had departed. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Romans 8, 9. If Saul did not have the Spirit of Christ, he was not walking with Christ. Probation had closed for Paul, for Saul. Probation closed for the antediluvians before the flood commenced. Probation closed for the Sodomites before brimstone was rained from heaven. Probation closed for Judah before he hung himself. And probation may have closed for someone sitting next to you in church on Sabbath. Powerful statement, but this is what scriptures reveal. So why the tarrying time? For the sealing of the 144,000. Before the national Sunday law takes place and probation closes for God's church. Then, those who have had no opportunity to learn what is truth will have additional time to repent, but the door has already been closed for Seventh-day Adventists. Just as soon as the people of God are sealed in their foreheads, it is not any seal or mark that can be seen, but a settling into the truth, both intellectually and spiritually, so they cannot be moved. Just as soon as God's people are sealed and prepared for the shaking, it will come. Indeed, it has begun already. The judgments of God are now upon the land to give us warning that we may know what is coming. Manuscript 173, 1902, Bible Commentary, Volume 4, page 1161. Friends, we are supposed to be settling into the truth. If someone comes to me and says, Lou, do you want to study the trumpets, the seals, the seven thunders? I have no problem. There is not a thus saith the Lord for what those events represent. But if someone comes to me and says, I have just discovered that when you die, you really go to heaven, I don't need to, I am settled into the truth on that point. If someone comes to me and says, did you know that the Sabbath, instead of taking place on Saturday, is taking place on any day of the week, it's a floating Sabbath. Friends, these are distractions from Satan to keep God's people from working, studying, praying, and perfecting our character. And there's so many doctrines. I will do another video on those. There's so many doctrines invading Seventh-day Adventists now. Doctrines that you say, where was God when the Sabbath was given to the Jews? Where was God when Ellen White for 100,000 pages wrote about the Sabbath? But now somebody gets up in the last moments of time and says, oh, the Sabbath floats, and I'm supposed to listen to that? Please, look at the second quote. Not one of us will ever receive the seal of God while our characters have one spot or stain upon them. This is serious stuff. This is what we need to be doing. It is left with us to remedy the defects in our character, to cleanse the soul temple of every defilement. Then the latter rain will fall upon us as the early rain fell upon the disciples on the day of Pentecost. Testimonies for the Church, volume 5, page 214. If you think we're going to receive the latter rain while we are still gossiping and judging and all the other things that we're doing, it's not going to happen. The seal of God will never be placed upon the forehead of an impure man or woman. It will never be placed upon the forehead of the ambitious, world-loving man or woman. It will never be placed upon the forehead of men or women of false tongues or deceitful hearts. All who receive the seal must be without spot before God. Search these scriptures for yourselves, that you may understand the fearful solemnity of the present hour. Testimonies for the Church, volume 5, page 216. You know, there's a quote in the testimonies that says, read the testimonies over and over and over again, because in the 9 volumes of the testimonies, excuse me, every problem that we could encounter today is covered. How to raise children, how to eat, how to exercise, how to have worship, etc. Have you read the 9 volumes of the testimonies, friend? Look at the second quote. The true people of God who have the spirit of the work of the Lord and the salvations of souls at heart will ever view sin in its real sinful character, especially in the closing work for the church. In the sealing time of the 144,000 who are to stand without fault before the throne of God, will they feel most deeply the wrongs of God's professed people. Testimonies for the Church, volume 3, page 266. Christians should be preparing for what is soon to break upon the world as an overwhelming surprise. And this preparation they should make by diligently studying the Word of God and striving to conform their lives to its precepts. The tremendous issues of eternity demand of us something besides an imaginary religion, a religion of words and forms where truth is kept in the outer court. God calls for a revival and a reformation. Prophets and Kings, page 626. This is the last book that she wrote, published after her death. Friends, the world is literally falling apart. What are you doing for Christ? When was the last time you gave a friend, a family member, a stranger, someone in the workplace, a copy of The Great Controversy? How many hours do you spend on Facebook, on Twitter, on television, on movies? How many hours do you spend reading the scriptures or praying? How many books have you read by the prophet who was raised by God to keep us from being deceived, especially in these last days? Because I will tell you something. If it wasn't for the spirit of prophecy, we would be as confused as the rest of the world out there. I saw that the remnant were not prepared for what is coming upon the earth. Stupidity, like lethargy, seemed to hang upon the minds of most of those who profess to believe that we're having the last message, my accompanying angel cried out with awful solemnity, "Get ready, get ready, get ready." Early Writings, page 119. The time of trouble, such as never was, is soon to open before us, and we shall need an experience which we do not now possess and which many are too indolent to obtain. It is often the case that trouble is greater in anticipation than in reality, but this is not true of the crisis before us. The most vivid presentation cannot reach the magnitude of the ordeal. Great Controversy 622. And we need to study. We need to come together and reason with God. May God have mercy on us. May He help us to be the holy people that He has called us to be. God bless you, my friends.